Radio Prague News. The Czech Cabinet has agreed to establish a State Secretary for EU Affairs. A legal analysis commissioned by the Czech Foreign Ministry has advised separating the Czech opt-out from the Lisbon Treaty from Croatia's admission to the EU in an upcoming vote in the Czech Parliament. And Radio Prague is celebrating its 75th birthday. The Czech Cabinet on Wednesday approved a proposal to establish a State Secretary for EU Affairs, despite fierce opposition from one of the coalition party's top 9. Prime Minister Petr Nečas, who pushed through the proposal, said the post was vital in view of the need to better coordinate Czech positions ahead of negotiations in Brussels. Top 09 party leader and Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg is fiercely opposed to the new post, arguing that it would lead to a confusing division of powers. The position is to be filled by Vojtěch Belling, who heads the government's Department for EU Affairs. A legal analysis commissioned by the Czech Foreign Ministry has advised separating the Czech opt-out from the Lisbon Treaty from Croatia's admission to the European Union in an upcoming vote in the Czech Parliament. Although the government originally recommended linking the two issues in one treaty for practical purposes, the analysis warned that opposition to the opt-out from the Social Democrats, who have a majority in the Senate, could complicate Croatia's accession to the European Union. In 2009, President Václav Klaus only signed the Lisbon Treaty after the EU agreed to his demand for a Czech opt-out from the EU's Charter of Fundamental Rights, which is part of the treaty. The Czech president feared it could open the way for restitution claims by Sudeten Germans expelled from Czechoslovakia after the war. The treaty will require a constitutional 3/5 majority to get the legislation passed in both houses, meaning that the government needs to win support from at least part of the opposition. Jaroslav Barták, a prominent Czech doctor who has been accused of sexually abusing his assistants, has been taken into custody. A Prague court on Wednesday refused his offer of bail on the grounds that he might try to leave the country or influence witnesses. Barták has been charged with sexual coercion, rape, extortion, unlawful restraint and physical assault. 6 women have filed criminal complaints against him. Co-owner of a medical facility in Prague's Modřany district and former head of the Prague branch of the Lions Charity Club, Barták is known to have close ties to politicians in high office. Radio Prague is celebrating its 75th birthday today. The country's foreign service was established in 1936 at the instigation of the Czechoslovak Foreign Ministry and first went on air on August 31st of the same year. Although severe budget cuts led to the termination of the station's shortwave broadcasts as of this year, Radio Prague is still providing listeners with daily news, current affairs and reports about the Czech Republic, with its main platform now the internet. The station broadcasts daily half hours on satellite in 6 languages and offers podcasting and reception via mobile phone. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The weather should continue warm and sunny with day temperatures between 20 and 25 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, this is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio, with me, Jan Richter. Welcome to our special anniversary broadcast. 75 years ago today, at 10 a.m. on the 31st of August 1936, the foreign service of Czechoslovak Radio went on air for the first time ever. Conceived primarily as a tool to counter propaganda from Nazi Germany and the Soviet Union, Radio Prague itself long served as a mouthpiece for communist propaganda. Since the 1990s, however, the station is the only Czech public news service, providing information about the Czech Republic in 6 languages to audiences around the world. Today, Radio Prague is an independent broadcaster, although it is funded entirely by the Czech Foreign Ministry. Following severe budget cuts in recent years, we had to curtail our shortwave service earlier this year, and we now use the internet as our main platform. Some good news came today from the Foreign Ministry, which has promised no budget cuts in 2012. I spoke to the head of the ministry's public diplomacy department, Jan Bondy, about Radio Prague's role and future prospects.
First of all, thank you for the invitation. I think that's the right place now to congratulate the all the staff and directors of the Czech Radio International Broadcasting for the cooperation, because I think that the beginning was a task done by Ministry of Foreign Affairs 75 years ago to support and to promote the Czech Republic as a new established country with the new policy. And since that time, I think the role is enormous, and especially these days, it's very important for us to support activities of the Czech Republic as a sovereign state within European Union and with all the economic aspects, and to attract the country for tourists, for business, and for everyone.
Is the Czech Foreign Ministry happy or satisfied about the contents of Radio Prague or what we're doing right now, or would you like to shift the focus perhaps towards economic diplomacy or incoming tourism and things like that?
Well, I mentioned a couple of minutes ago that the press conference of the radio broadcasting that we are satisfied with the work of the radio. We would like to use the radio also as a tool of the promoting of the positive activities of the embassy, so maybe there is a space that we can really improve. And I hope that also the interest of the Czech radio will be in the same direction. What I also have in my mind is to really to use Czech Radio International Broadcasting as a hub to the Czech Republic, as a tool that we can really use not only on the level of embassies but also the Czech centers and Czech tourism organizations.
What is the geographical focus? We broadcast all over the world in six languages. Of course, the Czech section of Radio Prague focuses mainly on Czech expats and compatriots living abroad. Where would the foreign ministry like Radio Prague to focus on, geographically speaking?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you are right. We started with natives, Czechs living abroad. We focusing on the people that are interesting for the Czech language or the Czech Republic. Our budget is limited, so we cannot really cover the all countries around the world. But the main concentration is the new world means Asia. We would like to concentrate or the people with the dynamic countries. Our concentration is to South America and Europe.
Radio Prague in recent years suffered severe budget cuts. There was a drop of 40%, which meant, among other things, the end of shortwave. Does the Foreign Ministry want Radio Prague to continue?
Well, that's true. The cuts were enormous, not only with the radio and also in other aspects. You know, we were actually pressed to close some embassies around the world. But for the next year, at least for the next year, was already first discussions about the budget, and there should be no cuts in this aspect. It should remain everything like this year as to the financial situation.
Well, that was Jan Bondy, the head of the Public Diplomacy Department of the Czech Foreign Ministry. Mr. Bondy, thank you very much for coming.
Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
In addition to serving foreign audiences, Radio Prague has gained popularity with expats living in the Czech Republic. However, we would like to increase our presence on the Czech media scene as well, and to let Czechs know we are here. Throughout the day, Radio Prague is celebrating its 75th anniversary in the very center of the capital, in Na Příkopě Street, where a tent has been put up to promote the station. We now go live to Radio Prague's tent, where our reporter Sara Borůvka is taking part in the action. Sara, how are things looking out there?
So we've definitely been graced with a great atmosphere so far. The weather's been sunny, and we've been talking to our listeners here locally, and definitely also been attracting the attention of passersby. Also, some of Radio Prague's staff is on site here, and among them is, for example, the director of our station, Mr. Miroslav Krupička, who will be talking to me now live from Na Příkopě. Mr. Krupička, you've been the director of Radio Prague since 1998. In all those years, what are some of the changes you have seen?
Well, the changes from the recent years is unfortunately shrinking budget. That has been our problem over the past 2 or 3 years. We have to accommodate to that. We have to take it into consideration, but it's quite unpleasant. We have to accommodate. We have to economize. We have to cut budgets for basically everywhere, for technologies, for just about anything. And when you ask what we have seen, what we have witnessed in the past few years, I would say it's the rise of new technologies. That's the changes in the media overall.
And how are those new technologies affecting the face of Radio Prague's broadcasts specifically?
Well, very much, because you know the focus is shifting from shortwave to let's say internet, to social networks, to what we call, in general, new technologies. One of the results of the shrinking budget is the closure of shortwaves that happened earlier this year, and we have to somehow reach the audience in other ways. We have to replace the old technology, the shortwave, with new waves of reaching listeners. And it's the already mentioned internet. Radio Prague's internet is, I think, quite well developed. We are one of the first media in the Czech Republic to start the internet site. It was back in 1994. We've got currently about 1 million visits on 3ws.radio.cz a month, which is not a bad result at all. And but there are other technologies, the one that I have also mentioned, the social networks. It's Radio Prague has been on Facebook, if I am correct, for the past 3 years. We've developed a very nice group of active followers. Since 2 months ago, we are on Twitter as well, and thus we also reach new people, because you know these are young people. This is a totally different audience that we have been reaching and getting through the new technologies.
And I am sure you would agree that there are two main groups of audiences. First of all, we have those listeners who live abroad and listen to us, and then we have, of course, foreigners in the Czech Republic who listen to us. What can we do to reach them, especially those foreigners living here in Prague or in the Czech Republic?
Well, for those living abroad, it's the already mentioned platforms. It's the internet, the social networks, it's our partners. We call them rebroadcasters or rebroadcasting stations around the world. And as for the listeners in here in the Czech Republic, we currently broadcast news in English, German and Russian on 92.6 FM in Prague. It's one of the local domestic stations belonging to the Czech radio, Regina, a regional station for Prague. But in the globalizing world, there are more and more tourists and more foreign students and you know, people coming from everywhere. And we want to strengthen our presence here in the Czech Republic and expand our presence on FM, at least here in Prague, but on other regional stations of the Czech radio as well. We've been talking to those stations. It's not easy. You know, they've got plenty of their own programming, but I hope we'll be able to expand our presence in here in the Czech Republic, because it's necessary.
And you've already mentioned that our programs are being rebroadcast by around 30 radio stations worldwide. How would you describe this cooperation?
Well, it's very, very, it's becoming more and more important, especially after the closure of shortwaves, because, again, this is a totally new audience that we are reaching through these partner radio stations around the world. I would divide them in two groups. There's a group of Czech expatriatic radios, which are in Eastern Europe. There are two in North America, in the US, four in Australia. And these small radio stations, they propagate the programming of Radio Prague. And then there's a bunch of very small local radios elsewhere in Spain, two radios in Austria and so on, who simply like our program and rebroadcast the programming that we offer to them. And we want to be more active. We want to find new partners and strengthen our presence on rebroadcasters.
Sara Borůvka was talking there to the director of Radio Prague, Miroslav Krupička. Of course, Radio Prague would not have turned 75 if it wasn't for our loyal listeners. We would like to thank you for all support and the interest over the years, and for the many anniversary notes you have sent in. On the occasion of our 75th anniversary, we did something we don't usually do. We called some of our listeners from around the world. Sara Borůvka talked to one of them, Stan Schmidt, who listens to Radio Prague from Evansville, Indiana, in the United States.
I started listening to Radio Prague back in 1968. In 1968, I was spending the summer with my grandparents up on the farm. And in the summer kitchen, there was an old tube radio with a wooden cabinet. My grandfather still used it to listen to the farm reports, baseball games. That 1930s radio was how I found shortwave and Radio Prague. I'd like to thank you for all the news and entertainment over the years, and best birthday wishes for the future of Radio Prague.
That was Stan Schmidt wishing us a happy birthday from Indiana. Our next listener comes from a completely different corner of the world, Salahuddin Dolar, who lives in Bangladesh and is the president of the Global Radio Fan Club. This is what he had to say.
I have been listening to Radio Prague from 2002. I enjoy Radio Prague's program very much. On the occasion of Radio Prague's birthday, I wish Radio Prague will provide us more news and information regarding the Czech Republic and stay with us more than 100 years from now.
Thanks very much for that sweet wish to Salahuddin Dolar from Bangladesh, who has been our listener for nearly a decade. Our next listener is Rodney Bowers from Atlanta, Georgia. He discovered Radio Prague on shortwave radio after returning home from Europe, where he lived for a while with his father, a member of the U.S. Air Force. His birthday wish really echoes all the developments in our long history. Have a listen.
I've been a listener to Radio Prague since the early 1960s via the shortwave radio broadcasts that were going on at the time. And now with those gone, I have to tune in via Facebook and Twitter. So I would like to first of all say happy 75th birthday to Radio Prague. It's been a great experience for me personally to be connected with the station. My QSL cards from the early days are very important to me. I still have them. My visit to the station a few months ago was just an extremely rewarding experience. Those types of characteristics are not going to be lost, and I would expect that those types of things are still going to be in demand in years to come, and I would expect that Radio Prague and your staff would continue to go on for another 75 years.
That was Rodney Bowers, our loyal listener for almost half a century. Thank you for remaining true to us even after the end of our shortwave broadcasts to Rodney, and of course to all of our listeners.
Thank you again, Sara Borůvka, for that. Now, for the final part of our anniversary broadcast here on Radio Prague, I'm joined in the studio by two very special guests. The Czech-born UK-based writer Benjamin Kuras, who worked briefly for Radio Prague's English section during the Prague Spring of 1968. Hello, and thank you for coming.
Hello, and nice to be here again.
And also our very own David Vaughan, who's been working with us in various positions since the early 1990s. Hello, David.
Hello.
Mr. Kuras, you joined Radio Prague in April 1968, which must have been an exciting time.
It was indeed, yes. And I was the first broadcaster in Prague Radio who did not have to join the Communist Party in 68. They abolished the rule that you had to be a communist to work here. And I was, in fact, asked at my audition whether I would like to join the party. And I said, well, do I have to? And the man who interviewed me was the head of the African English service at that time, said, well, if you don't have to, as of a week ago, you don't have to, but it would be nice if you did. And I said, well, do you mind if I remain in the youth party for a while, for a little more? And he said, that's okay. And they did give me the job in spite of not joining the party. It was exciting, obviously, because things were happening every day. I wasn't quite sure how the English took it, how interested in it they were. We did all sorts of other things like cookery and postal stamps. programs. There were some postal stamp buffs in England who actually did write letters to us, so we did reply to those.
I should add, actually, that went on right up until the mid-90s.
Well, Mr. Kuras, a few months, this probably doesn't concern the stamp collecting programs of Radio Prague of the day, but a few months before the Soviet-led invasion of 1968, Czechoslovakia officially abolished censorship in the media. Did you feel any pressure when you were working here, and or did Radio Prague report it report freely and independently?
We had, a bulk of centrally written material from which we could choose as we decided to do on a daily basis. We did not have access to, how would I put it, to foreign sources which would contradict, let's say, the Czech sources. So all we could choose from were Czech agency sources and radio correspondents, obviously.
Hmm. David, you have been for years now exploring Radio Prague's and Czech radio archives. Was propaganda the core mission of Radio Prague when it went first on air in 1936?
Well, it certainly was a major part of it. If you just look at the date, 1936, this was when Hitler was at the height of his power and his expansionist rhetoric was getting louder and louder. He passionately hated the Czechoslovak president, Beneš, and German propaganda under Goebbels was extremely virulently anti-Czech. And the Czechoslovak government realized that they had to respond in some way. So maybe it wasn't so much propaganda as counter-propaganda. And there is in the archives an amazing amount of material from the late 1930s, especially from round about the time of the Munich crisis of September 1938, when eventually Hitler was given about a quarter of Czechoslovak territory. And some of this is interesting in that it is really appealing passionately to the Germans and also to Czechoslovakia's allies to understand, to find compromise. And here's a broadcast from, in fact, exactly 73 years ago, the 31st of August 1938, appealing for reason.
Provided that such matter of course presumptions as the sovereignty of the Czechoslovak state, its independence and unalterable democratic constitution are respected, a compromise in Czechoslovakia's nationality problems is possible. Of this there cannot be the slightest doubt, and we do not give up the hope that the present tension between Czechoslovakia and Germany will be relieved.
That was Czechoslovak politician Hubert Ripka speaking there about the Sudeten-German crisis, as he says, in September 1938. What was Radio Prague's role after the war and during the first decades of the communist rule?
Well, the process of making Radio Prague into a propaganda station after the war started pretty quickly, and I think even before the communist coup, in fact, there was already a process of cleansing certain elements of the in the radio. After the communist coup, it accelerated immensely, and very many of the best journalists at the radio were thrown out, and they were replaced by loyal communists, one of whom, interestingly enough, was Arnoš Lustig, the writer, who very quickly realized that the error of his ways, that he was broadcast being used as a mouthpiece for a pretty nasty regime. Ironically enough, many of these people themselves were later thrown out as well in the course of the 1950s because of the whims of those in charge. But there was also a lot of very good and interesting broadcasting. There were also some very talented broadcasters. I've already mentioned Arnoš Lustig. Another one was Karel Kinzel, who was the Czechoslovak radio correspondent in the United States. And we can hear from, for example, from the mid 60s, an interview that he did, or a part of an interview with that he did with Martin Luther King about asking about how far, how much has been done to end segregation.
These are meaningful changes, but I must not give the impression that the problem is almost solved. There's still a great deal to do. We've come a long, long way, but we have a long, long way to go.
I have the impression that sometimes the changes we are speaking about are much more surface changes than the real changes.
Yes, I think we must recognize that two or three things are developing which can be dangerous if they're not dealt with. One is a trend toward token integration. And this, it seems to me, is the job ahead, to transform token integration into good faith compliance and integration. The other fact is that we still haven't touched one of the basic problems in our society, and that is that the Negro is still at the bottom of the economic ladder.
That was an interview with Martin Luther King by a famous Czech radio journalist, Karel Kinsel, who left for the United Kingdom in 1982, 14 years after you, Mr. Kuras. Did you ever meet Karel Kinsel while you were in London?
Yes, we worked for the BBC together for the Czech service in different ways. He covered mostly the Czech events. And he did his best, I have to say. I had a certain degree of admiration for him. He did his best to expiate for his communist past, as it were. And he became a very valued colleague to me.
Now, speaking of your work for the Czech service of the BBC, where did you get information about what was happening in Czechoslovakia at the time?
Well, we had to listen to Prague Radio, we had to monitor. You were going to ask me, I'm sure, if I ever listened to Czech radio in exile. Of course I did. We had to listen to the midnight broadcast and write down either if their story differed from ours, or if there was some new terminology that we hadn't known, that the Czech communists invented. There was quite a bit of that. We were told, however, not to fall too much for the Czech communist terminology, because we had listeners writing to us admiring how pure our Czech had remained over all those years.
When you compare what Radio Prague did when you were here in 1968 with what you did at the BBC's Czech section, are there any similarities in any way in the way, you know, they work with information?
Well, both were propaganda of the country that I was paid by to the country that I left or hadn't gone to yet. I have to say that the British propaganda was more bearable to me than the Czech one. Although, yes, the last couple of months that I worked in Prague in 68 was not exactly propaganda. We were taking it as a sort of a light-hearted view of the events.
David, how did Radio Prague change in the hardline times of the 1970s and 80s, after the Soviets managed finally to subdue the reform efforts of Prague Spring?
Well, I think one of the most interesting things is that immediately after the Soviet invasion in 68, nearly everybody was actually allowed to come back again after the initial street battles, etc., etc., and the very famous broadcast of Radio Prague in August 1968. Most of them were allowed to stay on, but what happened was this really pernicious process of normalization, whereby step by step people were purged. One of the means, for example, was by asking people to renew their party membership and then asking them directly how they felt about the invasion. This was a way whereby they got rid of many of the staff there. And really by 1971, 1972, there were very few of the most active staff from before that time.
Well, it's been great talking to you. Thank you very much, Benjamin Kuras, for coming to speak to us here at Radio Prague.
Thank you.
And David, it was great to see you again.
Thank you very much.
This brings us to the end of Radio Prague's anniversary special. Thank you very much for all your well wishes. We hope to be here for you in years to come. But now, for myself, Jan Richter, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for tuning in today, and goodbye.